On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are diving into a mixed six-pack of Rheingeist beer and cider from Ohio. We talk about temperance and the closing of Ballast Point Chicago. All that more on this episode. Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
We got a nice little six-pack going, mixed six-pack.
We got a mixed six-banger from Ohio, from the OH. It's Rheingeist, man. They're in Chicago now.
So this is Chicago Beer Pass, and we're over here drinking Ohio beer.
What the fuck is wrong with us, man? You know, it's Big Ten.
You know, I'm drinking. Yes, they're not even.
Which one of these cups is mine? I'm going
to
take this one.
They're like not even next to. We got to go through another state to get here.
That's true. It's Illinois, then you go Indiana, and then on the other side, Indiana is Ohio. Yeah. Okay. No, and then if you go in the opposite direction, you'd run into Iowa.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's after Iowa. I thought about this the other day, and I don't want to cheat and look it up.
Colorado.
Fucking Montana or some shit.
Yeah. California. <that's> anyway, all right. Good point. So this crew just dropped here in Chicago recently, and they sent us some beer.
Yeah, man. So cheers to them. They are the second largest brewery in Ohio behind Great Lakes.
Okay.
Yeah. So... that's this. It's a very short list of shit I know about Rheingeist.
Okay.
Great Lakes is in Cleveland. And they're in, and Rheingeist is Cincinnati.
Okay.
That's it. That's the end of my...
And then who's that other big crew that...
Hoppin' Frog?
Not Hoppin' Frog. They're in Bloomington. They have... Oh, I should have looked...
Forbidden Root?
Not Forbidden Root. But they have some... They always...
Oh, Jackie O's.
Jackie O's. And then there's another crew that's not far from them. I'm like, they have like really nice can designs. They were winning lots of awards for a while. They were almost the Three Floyds of Ohio. Or no, they're in Indiana. Never mind.
Okay.
Mess that up.
I was gonna say something else about Ohio. There's a crew that took a big ass Ohio flag to the stage with them and said drink beer from here.
Okay.
I can't think of the name of that crew either. I don't know much about Ohio beer.
Yeah, no? we've said this many times and joked about it. There are some tasty breweries out there, and these guys coming to Chicago is a little strange, but welcome.
Yeah, it sounds like they're Windy City Distro is who's bringing them in, and I think one of the sales guys from Rheingeist has Chicago roots.
Okay.
And I think there's a trend with that. So, like, for example, Revolution, they distribute on the East Coast in Maine because Josh Deeth has family in Massachusetts.
Right.
Right. Or the guys, Russian River, you know, Vinny and those guys, they're a California brewery. They come all the way past Chicago and distribute in Philly because they have roots in Philly.
And Half Acre goes to Philly.
The same shit, right? Because they got, you know, because they're from back east. So, Yeah, I think people, they send beer to where they want to go party or where they're from.
Yeah.
So. And so that and sounds everyone, like that.
Most people want to party in Chicago.
I mean, it is Chicago.
Yeah. The Truth IPA, it tastes like a classic IPA, but a little boring. Like we were drinking that Escape last week on the live stream, and that has like more of a malty body to it. This is kind of like the IPA that just is bitter hops that doesn't make that made turn people off of.
You beat me to it. There's a ton of bitter hops in there. Now, there's a Zango. So we only got six beers. We just had the IPA.
I'm going to go Imperial and see, like...
Brad wants to go double IPA. Have you been to Ohio?
I have. Not in a long time.
Okay.
Only really the Cleveland area. Like, been to Great Lakes, been to this Bullfrog Brewer. Like, it's almost like a brew pub.
Yeah. There's... I had a Cleveland trip once. The cool part about Cleveland is like the time change. You know, you leave Chicago at 6, you land in Cleveland, it's like, coming back.
Yeah, the other way.
Coming back, yeah. You leave.
What's great is to get out of Ohio, you gain an hour.
Yeah. You leave Cleveland at 6 p.m. You get to Chicago at 6:15 p.m. Like, nothing changed. You know?
The last time I've been to Ohio was 8 years ago,
yeah.
Maybe?
The Pro Football Hall of Fame's in Canton, Ohio. So that's a little bit of a drive outside of Cleveland, but that's the last time I went.
And I've never been to the Rock and Roll.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's in Cleveland. Yeah. Hoppin' Frog and Great Lakes are the ones I remember from Cleveland. Yeah, it's a short list.
I mean, I haven't had a Great Lakes beer in a minute. I was a huge fan of their Christmas beer is tasty, and then their
Edmund Fitzgerald, I like that.
And then their stout. Blackout. Not Blackout. Is it Blackout? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
They got a red ale, Nessa Fitaro, I think it's like the original dragon.
We're talking about Great Lakes, and now I want Great Lakes, and we're over here drinking Rheingeist.
So these are the top two big dogs in Ohio, right? I think the Goose bought a brewery in Ohio. AB.
Okay.
AB bought an Ohio brewery.
Ohio, the brewery company?
They bought the state of Ohio. What's the name of this brewery that they bought?
I'm not sure, but I'll let you look that up as I talk about this saber-tooth tiger. Like almost the exact same flavor as the truth. It's that bitter, hop, piney, citrus. It doesn't drink like 8.5%, but it also isn't what we look for in our IPAs. Not that we need a hazy IPA, but that bitter, piney hop, I don't know. It's just not as tasty as it used to be. So I feel like Saber isn't my thing. I don't know how you're feeling about Sabretooth.
Platform Beer in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, Platform makes, they had good beer pre-AB. I don't know.
We don't know what they done, if AB done fucked it all up yet.
Mm-hmm.
AB probably fucked up one of the beers, right? Because like when Goose got bought, they started making 3-1-2 on the East Coast and they had to dump it all because the water was different and it didn't taste right. It
took them a while to get IPA right, too.
Yeah, I don't know if, and then Chicago's so competitive, like I don't know where this fits.
Why don't I don't need those beers?
Yeah,
I don't. It's not. They're great. They're tasty. But I don't need them in our lineup.
When you're talking, and we don't want to get on our our soapbox, but I mean,
here's the box of soap if you wanna get on it.
Yeah, the care package they come with like a bunch of fun knickknacks. But yeah, man, when you talk IPAs, the fresher the better. And the one style that you're going to drink from a local crew is IPA.
Mm-hmm.
And then nothing beats it. You know, nothing beats a fresh IPA. So, this everyone coming in from out of town selling their IPAs at this point, it's kind of like, of course it's going to be good. It's going to have beer integrity. But I mean, why would you not get the closest, freshest, delicious thing?
And support your hometown. There's a lot of just beer drinking in Chicago comes down to it's from Chicago.
This is one of those moments where I really miss the world being open, because I think, hearing their story from them and hanging out at a spot where, I might not have frequented for a night, right? And then just drinking all this stuff and pairing it with food and, just understanding the vibe that they create a little bit more would put me more in touch with what they're trying to do. So I don't miss much about being outside, honestly, but I do miss that. Now that we're having this talk, I think this would be a totally different experience if they were able to have a proper launch. Yeah, mm-hmm. Proper Chicago launch.
Yeah. We don't make the whole episode just talking about these guys, but we'll get through a couple more.
What you got, Mathlete?
Mathlete, which is their low-cal IPA, like their solo.
Shit, I like this one, actually. Almost a little better than the
double IPA.
Period. Yeah, it's brighter and it's got a little more fun of a citrus note.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what that is. It's like a citrus note that almost feels like a cleaner. Like
it's got some
that lemony. It's got lemon.
Lemony, maybe a little like kind of that. Is tangerine like a tartar? Is it that brighter one? I don't know. It's not a sweet orange flavor. It's like a tart, bright orange flavor.
Yeah. Oh, that's
good. I like that one.
Yeah, this seems like a good crushable. Is it better than Solo? I don't know.
It's right there.
Yeah.
Solo's got a different vibe. I feel like Solo's got the more of the peppery hops. Like, not like how Alarmist Juice has a little pepper.
Yeah.
But it's got more like a snap, like a crisp. It's got a crisp. I'm snapping my fingers. Solo's got a crisper hop.
Okay.
This has like a bright lemony orange zest hop.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that lemon. Hey, it's kind of nice.
I like that one. So far, that's my favorite, I think.
So we have like a fruited beer and another fruited beer. We have a fruit sour, a fruit beer, and a cider. I'm going to, like, mix this up and go cider, and then we can kind of talk about, dive into the rest of this episode.
Yeah, man.
Feeling like, because, look, it's lemongrass and ginger. I feel like after the mathlete, it's got to be the way to go, right? Cider. Man, very bubbly and foamy. Cool lineup. I think these are the like core beers. I know I've seen the picture you post. Someone asked about one of them, and I think there's a couple other ones that are out there that you can find as well. Right?
The VP of sales at Ryan Geist is a Chicago native.
Oh, okay.
So,
makes sense.
There you go. Ryan Geist was founded in 2013. The name translates to Ghost of the Rhine because they're in the historic Over the Rhine Brewery District of Cincinnati, Ohio. So they built their location in the skeleton of an old brewery built before Prohibition.
Oh,
so,
cool.
That's cool. Yeah. I do like that.
Yeah. This cider is super fun and goes really well after the mathlete. The ginger in there, this seems like a perfect cider to go with sushi or some sort of other Japanese, Asian.
So now we're talking. So they make beer and cider. And we said last episode, not a lot of folks are doing that.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Aris. Shit, it's actually a very short list.
That's not true. cool. Well, what do you think of that one?
Oh.
That might be my favorite, kind of.
It's fun to look at. That really fantastic, like, eggshell white head. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of, there's this, it's like the gumdrops. Reminds me of one of those gumdrop candies, man. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm trying the Brocks. Brocks. God, I'm so like old.
Grandma candy? Do you have any Brocks in your pockets right now? Wolshers?
Those gummy Brocks candy. That's the first thing that popped out at me, man. God. I got to slow down, man.
Yeah, let's sip on this one. Did you hit up anything? Did you make it anywhere?
Man, you know, it was a slow week for me, man. I didn't do much. I just, yeah, so I didn't go anywhere or drink anything.
Okay, I did the Temperance tailgate hang again.
Mm.
This sweet little setup there. It was amazing this past weekend in Chicago, so had to be outside. And
how was round two of the Temperance tailgate, man?
We didn't have a grill this time.
Okay.
And some people brought their kids, so it was a little less fun. But it was still good to see people and be outside drinking.
it is what it is, man.
Traded the grill for kids. I don't know.
You're like, man, I don't know if...
They don't provide any food. And
I don't know if we leveled up here. That's what you're thinking.
but I went deep on the basement party again.
Yeah.
That beer is...
That's a jam.
Yeah.
That's a jam. I was telling somebody about that. I'm like, Brad brought in this fucking lager from Temperance. I'm like... This shit is good.
Yeah, that might be my sleeper hit of 2020.
So far, yeah. I would say.
And then they had a 4% mild that I got after the Venturous. I have, I think, 4 cans left. We will probably dive into on an episode. I don't
know, a mild ale. Now,
like an English mild.
Yeah, like... Not Robert the Bruce. That's the one we love to hate.
The like Goose. Goose had the mild, right?
They did.
They had an old.
The one I'm thinking of is
Honkers. Oh, Honkers is a.
Honkers is an ESB.
ESB.
What is? Oh, Pride and Joy is a mild.
It's
it's an English mild ale.
But that's like a 5-6%.
I mean, I thought it was like 4.2.
Yeah, this is 4. It's light. It's easy drinking. It's almost maybe too light feeling, but. It was like 60, so it was like a little cool, like sweatshirt weather, so you didn't want I wanted something with a little more body, really.
Yeah.
And but I think in the summertime.
Now was it? Is it? It's not a dark beer, or is it?
I don't know. I had it in the can. Oh. So I don't know. The can's, it's a green beer. I don't know. The can's green. I'm sure it's kind of like a nutty wood color.
Okay.
So, yeah, and that was kind of nice. They had, you know, they had their some of the haze and things like that. I just wasn't feeling that, and the mild sounded pretty fun, and so I was digging on it.
I opened the Zango. It's an ale with apple, mango, and tangerine, and natural flavor. What the hell are natural flavors, Brent?
I'll get into it here in a minute. But I only went to Temperance when I was up there. I didn't hit up Sketchbook, unfortunately. I should have grabbed some beer, but...
No one... Is anyone hitting... Because you're right. If I go to Temperance, I'm not going to Sketchbook. If I go to Sketchbook, I'm not hitting the other two.
It's like a weird... Like, yeah. It should be. If you go to Beguile, you go to Dovetail.
Right. It's not the same romp if you're doing Evanston. You're picking one.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I've never been to Temperance and Sketchbook the same day.
Yeah, I almost stopped at Alarmist and then went to Temperance because it's like kind of like on my way there. Like I was like, oh, I could go pick up some beer and then go buy Temperance. But I didn't. Yeah.
So you didn't make it to Smiley Brothers either?
No.
Okay.
So that was my one stop. hung out there. You know, Temperance basically in... two times in a month period is like more than I've gone there more than I've ever gone there now, basically.
It don't take much, man. They got you with the tailgating.
Yeah.
I mean, that shit sounds fun as hell. You're making me want to go.
I think if another brewery did this, I think it would be a huge hit. I don't know what sort of legal rules they are skirting here.
You know, you get there as early as possible. I mean, 'cause that's the fun of Bears games. We're getting hammered. We're all wearing the same stuff. But really, we've been partying in this fucking parking lot for a few hours before right. This thing even started. Same thing at Sox Park, you know, party in the parking lot for a couple hours and then go in. Something about that party lot, that parking lot party, man.
Yeah.
The grill and the booze. It's, you know, it's even college football games. You know, something about that that, you know, just fucking gets me excited just talking about it.
Gets you in the mood, yeah.
You know?
Right? You're ready to go. So I may have to lay off Temperance for a little bit.
No? And then you're kind of like, you know, you're escaping Occupy Chicago. You're leaving town, technically.
Right.
So a lot of all of that plays into the trips to Temperance. I can I dig it.
So,
yeah.
But then, yeah, I'll probably try to, I don't know, hit up somewhere else soon. Feeling pretty good about this outside drinking, especially around people. And so it's not too bad.
How is the distance thing there? Are cars pulling up right next to you kind of thing?
Usually, it depends on how busy it gets, but we basically pulled up two cars almost like with two spots in between us.
That's where that's how you want it.
We could like congregate between our cars
yeah,
so that no one's going to...
You got your barriers. You got your borders set
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
This is Brad Town.
This is our area.
This is our village here.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're giving me the playbook now.
Right.
All right.
And then if you leave your little bubble area, you put on your mask and you go get your beer, you go to the bathroom, and yeah. And then just they have their dumpsters and stuff, and you throw your stuff in there.
Yeah. Now, three of the six Ryan Geist beers have some kind of fruit in them.
Okay.
Right? The cider, and then the fruited sour, and then the Zango, which is an ale with mango and tangerine. But I tell you, after taking all three fruit ones for a spin, I don't know if anything gets it quite like the Swizzle is getting it. I think Swizzle's holding strong here at the top of what's going on.
The cider is winning the beer off.
The cider and the low-cal IPA.
Yeah. Who are we?
I look in the mirror and I'm like, it makes me sick looking at this fucking guy.
Oh, we were going hard on birds last time, so.
Oh, that's true. That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm saying they're fruits. Lemon, I don't know if lemongrass and ginger are fruits. Probably not.
Yeah, this Zango is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Just tangerine and mango. Just what? Just the ale? Like what?
Yeah. It's kind of like the apple ale up in New Glarus. They got an ale with apple, and there you go. It's kind of like that.
That's kind of fun. And it's not a cider. It's got like an apple on it. Like, that has an apple on it, mm-hmm. and the other ones have their, like, skull. So is Zango a cider? What's this?
Well, Zango's got apple in it, though. That's all.
That's, okay. But they're using their little apple cider guy.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Like...
Zango. Zango, I don't know. Might be over the sale.
I'm coming back around. Their IPAs are fine, but I think the fun with these boys is, so far, the low-cal stuff and the fruit stuff is kind of fun.
Yeah, it almost fits. I can almost see where it fits in now. It fits in between that seltzer, kombucha, and beer. And seltzer, kombucha, cider, and beer.
Yeah, world. So the Zango. If you like any of those things,
right?
Or if you just want to, if you're pounding cocktails and you want to take a cocktail off,
yeah,
you bust out the Zango.
Because yeah, I bet the beer cocktail was Zango.
I don't know if this mixed sixer is part of the rollout, but if I saw this mixed sixer again, I think it's the mix. I don't need six Zangos though, but I like the Zango option. I think that's a Gator.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's a Gator. There's some playing cards. There's like a camping bag. They're just in case you got to skip town real quick. They got all the stuff you need. You know, there's soap. There's soap made, the Bar of Truth soap made with...
just a bandana because they have it like... You can have
grapefruit
it like
and essential oil.
What's a truth? Do-rag, a pirate. I don't know. A blindfold. I don't know. There's a lot of like uses for that. It's kind of weird.
You got excited when you saw the blindfold option, didn't you?
What? That's what I'm using for my bandanas. I feel like there's only you're only gonna use a bandana as a like a mask, and that's not even one of the listed.
Yeah, neck scarf.
Oh, neck scarf.
But... Wristband. No, face mask. Face mask is on there. I gotta go face mask.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we had
a do-rag is on. It's called a hair cover, but it's a do-rag.
Yeah, that's what I have.
I'm using it as a do-rag. I had a big ass head. I don't know if it's gonna fit my head, but if it does, I'm wearing it as a do-rag.
So we have one beer stop, and then we have one beer closing.
Yeah, West Loop, man.
Ballast Point, Chicago.
Yes, Ballast Point, Chicago.
The littlest brew system in Chicago. Spiteful would have been the only crew that had like something smaller. Spiteful's was 5 gallons.
Spiteful's old spot, which was, you know, 600 square feet. Where were they brewing? They were 600 square feet, and they had a little bitty.
It was like off of Ravenswood Corridor.
That's right. Yeah. They were the smallest brew pub. Then they grew up, and the new smallest brew pub was one of the largest breweries in the country.
Yeah. It'd be like if Goose Island was like, yeah, we got this tiny brew system. Come over.
Yeah. Now, the Ballast Point location is in West Loop. And we talked was in West Loop. We talked about that's the fruit of sour. See how the Zango and the Swizzle are better?
Yeah.
We talked about this before, man. The West Loop, you know, pound for pound, probably the best neighborhood for food in the whole city.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's, you know... Goose, the brewing district is walking distance from there. Haymarket's in the district, so is Cruz Blanca.
Yeah, Cruz Blanca.
You know, and it's like there's a lot of local pride in that neighborhood. So then Ballast Point comes in as these West Coast boys, and they have 100 draft lines, and they have no guest drafts,
right? And no cider.
Yeah.
No, even like a seltzer, non-alcoholic was like soda and water.
Yeah, and then they're not even, Brad's talking about the Street Bros system, all the beer they got, they're not making it. They're bringing it in from their closest location, which is like a few states away, Virginia, I think. Uh-huh.
But they had one, usually had one rotating tap, and it won a fucking GABF award.
It did. I forget which one it was. Because when we saw the list.
Haze, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Didn't win bronze in Haze?
Yeah. So, now we went to the launch party for this.
Yeah,
they had a killer space. It was an old. It's in the meatpacking section of West Loop, and this was like a meatpacking building, and it looked nothing like that. Uh-huh. You know,
and it was right next door to WeWork, which has completely fallen apart. So
yeah,
that probably wasn't going well. And we went to this launch party, and I went two other times.
Okay,
once for like an event we had there. And then one other time just, I think, just to get a beer for a picture. But after a while, it's not that interesting to take pictures there. I sort of like their order system where you could order anywhere and basically food would come to you. They just kind of give you a number. I feel like that's a very West Coast thing, and I didn't like it.
a lot of people, now, when we went, the rooftop wasn't open, but people who gone on the rooftop got really excited because it holds 250 people.
Yeah, I never
the rooftop. On the fifth floor, you take the elevator, go straight to the top floor. So they put a lot of work into this place. But what was I going to say? Oh, the food I thought was interesting. It was like this kind of West Coast, you know, marine life kind of seafood-driven recipe.
Yeah.
A recipe or menu. And I really dug that. They made sours, and they made a ton of stouts, the Victory AC series, and then the Winch series.
Right.
But for whatever reason, even though the beers were good, it never really caught on.
Well, I think the lack of options, it was just beer. Like, what are you going there? You're going there probably to watch a sports game and drink beer. Like, it felt lame. I don't know. Like, it was like a terrible concept. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to go over here. But we could go to the 10 other places and do the same thing, and everyone can get what they want.
You're better off making this. Because, you know, when I went to the place you told me about, Ike and Oak, out in Woodridge or whatever, when I got there, I felt like it was a destination. Pizza joint, gigantic ceiling, tons of people, fresh beer. And I'm like, I'm in this remote location, and there's like this kind of oasis almost, right? Yeah. And I don't know shit about this area, but this thing here is super fucking cool. It was almost better served being something like that. You know how like IKEA is on the outskirts of the city.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like
Ballast Point should have been on the outskirts.
I think so, right? With just this big sprawling thing and just kind of make it more of an experience. But they were like, nah, we're coming to the coolest neighborhoods you have for beer and food. Mm-hmm. We're coming there, just right walking distance from Union Station.
Yeah.
And we're going to plant our flag.
Next door to the Publican, one of the best places in the city for beer.
There's more than one beer on draft at Publican.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's more than one beer brand on draft at Publican. It was a bold move. And I thought everything was cool as fuck in there. I went there and I always had a good time when I went.
Sure.
But it just didn't work out.
And then... beginning of the pandemic, right? This was like January or February. The crew up in the Verbs.
Oh, Housing Hood. The Ampersand is in their name.
Yeah.
They bought Ballast Point. They make English. Kings and Convicts.
Yeah.
Kings and Convicts.
They came in, dropped 5 milli, I think.
Undisclosed, but the rumor is it's probably around 5 mil.
Right, which Constellation Brands paid 100 for, right?
No, that was $1 billion purchase.
Oh, it was a billion.
That was $1 billion.
So it was a billy.
It was craft beer's first $1 billion purchase.
And then,
yeah,
I feel like it was January or February because we were in here talking about it. Kings and Convict, everyone was completely shocked. That was like the weirdest week of beer news. Like something else happened that week and it was like, what's happening? They came in 5 million, this brewery of two people.
Yeah, Kings and Convicts is Highwood, Illinois. It's near Lake Forest where the day job is. So we happened to be up there the day after. I'm like, let's go to Kings and Convicts. We go to Kings and Convicts. And they were just like, the Kings and Convicts guys, you know, they were saying how other people had hit them up saying, hey, by the way, just so you know, I'm for sale. He's like, we fielded so many calls from local breweries saying that they were also for sale.
Crazy.
Like, I think it was at a time where people
Kings were and Comic, not far from our friends over at Ravinia.
Yes. So. Hello, Ravinia. What's up? We going out there? I saw the exchange.
Yeah, on we got the email. We gotta make this happen.
All right. Yeah, I like Ravinia.
But now, what? 5 million pre-pandemic? What's Ballast Point worth now? 1 million, maybe? If it was, it wasn't even worth 5 million at the time for the brand. And now, it's garbage.
The only, you know, there was an email that came through about it, but the only emails you got was, hey, Ballast Point sold, and hey, we're closing the Chicago location. It'd have been nice to hear more about, you know, what the vision is, you know, how Ballast Point fits into the Kings and Convicts expansion too, because they wanted to do something in rural Wisconsin with like a golf course and a hotel and some other shit.
Yeah, new Kings and Convict place was going to open. Why didn't they just shut Ballast Point and make it Kings and Convicts?
Why don't you freak out the Ballast Point concept downtown at least, have it be experimental and just have, you know, people come in and brew special beers there and have them, you know, come pick up, you know, have a weekly rotation of cool shit for people to get excited. Easy as hell for everybody to get to West Loop.
The rent had to be crazy there, right?
Yeah, also that. But that's a killer space. It makes me wonder, that space isn't going to die because they put a lot of effort into that space.
Yeah, the space is nice, but it's going to be a while before someone with that much money comes in there to run at 50% capacity for the entire year.
That's so true. Yeah.
Let it sit for the year.
Yeah.
Come back next in the winter and get a lease going and build it out.
Yeah. It's hard for me to tell people, you know, just be overly critical about what people are doing with their money, but it feels like a missed opportunity when you're super close. When you're in a neighborhood that really loves to go out and throw money at businesses like the West Loop neighborhood is, it feels a little like a wasted opportunity that it didn't become something else in the meantime, you know? Mm-hmm. So after Kings and Convicts bought in, they could have made that place something totally cool and new again. And instead, it just kind of sat. Three Barrel System, you could rock and roll on that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how many times I went 45 miles to fucking, what was it, Phase 3 last week.
Yeah.
I mean, Phase 3 came down and said, hey, we're partying with a crew from the 90s in Ballast Point that just got bought by Kings and Convicts. We're partying here. You saved me 40 miles.
I know. I don't know if any of these like legacy brands, I don't know, understand how to do that or want or think it's going to hurt their thing. It's like, Bell's point, whatever you were doing, it was hurting you. So do something else.
Yeah. And that can go into a whole long thing about the whole Bell's point, like, you know, the fallout, how they, like, the guys who founded it left when they sold and how, you know, Sculpin was a sky high rock, like pallets of fucking Sculpin in every flavor all of a sudden everywhere. And it was something that was so cool at one point. And then it was like Krispy Kreme. They put all those Krispy Kreme donut joints everywhere.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, there's only two in the state. It just was a very, very weird roller coaster ride, that whole thing.
Yeah. So this is not, I don't think anyone. No beer person was surprised to hear that Kings and Convict or Ballast Point closed. What this means for Kings and Convict is another story, I guess. So
I wonder if we reach out if they'll talk to us, because I want to know all the shit that was gonna happen or what they thought about doing. That's more interesting than getting something that said, "Oh, we closed."
We closed, yeah.
You know, and that's it. That's all we
what
got.
What did you want to do? What was the plan before COVID? Like, what were you gonna do with this place? What were you gonna do with the brand here in Chicago? Because Ballast Point beer will never sell here now, right? It wasn't selling before. It's definitely not gonna sell now. If they're like, "Oh, we're at all these bars," no one cares.
Even if it's good.
Yeah.
That's fucked up, but it's true. It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, so another one bites the dust. All right, so do we have a favorite Ryan Geist?
Man, it's a tough call, and I know this is turning into the Dad Beer podcast, but I'm giving the slight edge to Mathlete over the Swizzle.
Nick's going low calorie, light, plain Jane beer.
115 calories. Watching my girlish figure. Data don't lie. Crisp and refreshing.
Coming back to it after the cider, it's a little more like harsh.
It's got a lot of attitude for a 4% beer.
Yeah.
I'm down with that. Well, cool. That's making me happy. I do like the Swizzle a lot.
Yeah.
I think those are my top two. The cider.
Cider.
The cider and the light
beer? Yeah. Someone's going to come after us. They're like, yeah.
We're just telling you how it made us feel, man.
Yeah. Cool. Any other news? Anything else happening? Any festivals? Any events? Half Acre has like a lottery for like a stout that they got coming out.
We should drink that.
We gotta get it.
We should get it and drink it. I feel good about getting in and drink it. We should drink it next week.
Oh, well, you got it?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Okay. They got it. I forgot. I saw it last night, and they're like, you can enter at 9 a.m. And I had two phone calls back to back, and I didn't, and I forgot.
I think it's a collab with Veil.
Yeah.
Which was one of the crews at
Far and Away.
Far and Away. Probably, man.
500 years ago.
Yeah. So fucking cool.
A long time ago.
It's not the best party ever, but it's up there.
Yeah. It's up there.
Far and Away is up there. I don't know what the best party ever is, but right, Far and Away is up there.
Nick got, they also have another stout.
Soak in the Shadow, it's called.
But then there was a version that, there was the raffle version and not the raffle version, right?
I think this is just Soak in the Shadow, which is a collab with Veil.
Okay. And then there was one that was like a special release that you could enter the raffle for. But.
Now you got me confused on which one I got.
Oh, okay.
We'll figure it out.
Either way, we got some Half Acre Veil collaboration to drink at some point. So that's a cool release. Collaborations, I think it's the way a lot of these brands and breweries are going to get their name out there. Just keep spreading that goodwill.
You know, the generation before ours, you know, they had brand loyalty. And, you know, we are more of a generation of we like new. And if we have a crew and we like them, the only thing better than their new thing is if they party with another crew, you know, to create something else.
Yeah.
So we like this when people get together and do shit. And it don't sound like it's always beneficial for them. That was the argument against the mixed case of Evanston beers. I think we brought that up.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, that's not really an advantage for any of us.
True.
But as a consumer.
It's a great advantage for consumers. That's
exactly what the fuck you want. Yeah.
And then, you got opening day coming up, so.
Oh, yeah. Fucking like 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah. I saw those Noon Whistle beers are back.
So I hope they fix that shit, man.
I'm not trying them, but.
It was. Hey, man. I still got one on my 4x4 because it needs to be fixed. So I hope you guys fix it this year because
I have a Sox one still that I don't want to drink, and it just sits there at the bottom of like the pile of beers in the corner.
You can't be fucking around, man. Just make a beer that we can be like, man, this is great.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's all.
Just as people who don't make beer.
make a better beer. Come on. Awesome. Well, be sure to check out our Instagram because we're usually putting up a live stream after the pod and a little reel, aka TikTok.
You know, we're having ourselves a good old time up in here, man.
Yeah, so check those out. Those are fun. And the little live streams are usually like 10 minutes, so they cover a different topic than we do on the podcast. So
yeah, and we keep the clock running. We don't want to waste your time.
Yeah,
but I think it's a good way.
But here on the pod, we're wasted.
We got a full 30 minutes of your time that we're going to waste on this pod. That's for sure.
Awesome. So, that's Chicago Beer Pass on Instagram, Twitter as well. Nick, where can people find you and get in touch if we're not here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio,
and I'm at Brad, and we'll be back next week. Should be with another episode.
Right on.
Take care.
Cheers.